church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets. Church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing heart. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom. Church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to worship this morning. It is great to see you all. And thank you so much for the warm welcome this week. Phone calls and flowers and emails and stopping by the office. Feeling very warmly welcomed. Thank you so much. A special welcome to our visitors, and we would invite you to join us for coffee and fellowship just down the hall after worship. Let's see. Oh, name tags. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for wearing the name tags. That will help my husband Todd and I as we learn your names, especially Todd, since he only sees you on Sunday morning and not as much contact, and so that's very helpful. And it's actually helpful for all of us. You know, every so often, you know that person. But the name is just not coming. So it gives us all a cheat sheet, so thanks for wearing those. I'd like to point out on the back of your bulletin are opportunities for learning and service as the worship of this congregation continues into the week, so pay attention to those. I believe there is a special announcement from Linda Haynes, a minute for mission, is that correct? Please come up and share that with us, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Coming up 1 week from today is another in the ongoing series of adult education sessions the Mission Committee has sponsored concerning current issues facing our nation, our state, and our community. We have learned from each one of these sessions from well-informed and experienced people in the field and examine them from our own personal Christian perspective. These sessions have been incredibly informative, and they're very well attended, but there is always room for more people to come. We can bring in chairs, and we can have standing room only if that's necessary. And especially for the next one, because the topic is always in the news. You may think immigration is a southern border issue, but the Reverend Roger McDaniel will present this to us about how this issue of immigration inspired his congregation of Highlands Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne into action. What action, you may ask? Why? Where? How? I guess you're going to have to come next week to the North Lounge after worship to find out. The meeting will begin at 10:45. There will be snacks and drinks, and you will have a very, very interesting discussion. There'll be questions and answers, but I promise you that Reverend McDaniel will tell you some very, very interesting things that his congregation has learned. They did a 3-year study of scripture, of social issues, of things that have happened, and the action that they have taken. It will be well worth your time. Please come and join us, and we'll fill the North Lounge with wonderful, interesting discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the introit.
Stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and shield.
Our hearts are glad because we trust God's holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you.
Son of God, Shaper of the stars, you alone, Dweller of my heart, Mighty King, how beautiful you are, how beautiful. Son of God, the Father's gift to us.
Join me in the call to confession. Even in our faithlessness, God still loves and waits in mercy to forgive. Trusting in the promises given at our baptism, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Holy God, you promised us a life full of blessings, but we do not always believe. You incite us to hope, but we fall back into fear. You urge us to give freely, but we cling to what we have. You call us to watch at all times for you, but we grow lazy and self-absorbed. Forgive us, increase our hope, enlarge our hearts, and keep us alert to the wonders you work in the world every day. For the sake of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Hear the good news. By faith, we have been saved, our guilty hearts washed clean, refreshed, revived, and renewed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Live as ones who are forgiven and freed, giving thanks to God.
Would the children please come forward? Or child. Good morning, Adrian. So, tell me, what's happening this week?
I'm getting a pocket knife.
Oh, you are? That's awesome. Good for you. Where do you get to go this week?
To school.
Yes, school starts on Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. Are you ready for school to start?
Yes.
You are. And what grade are you going to be in?
Third.
Third grade. So Adrian's ready for school. How about the parents? Are you ready for school? Yes. How about the teachers? Are teachers ready for school? No. All right. So school starts Wednesday. So Pastor Michelle shared this with me, and I thought this was really a good thing we could do today, all right? Because I want you to remember that not only are we all thinking of you and holding you close while you start this new adventure of third grade, but who else is always going to be with you?
God.
That's right. The Lord's always with you. So we have a litany we're going to do together today. So I'm going to say a sentence, and then when I give you the mic, then you're going to say,
Jesus is with me.
That's right. So we'll do this one together, okay? All right. So no matter what happens during school, you know, and your life in general, right? Okay. So when it's the night before going to school and I'm picking out my clothes and making sure I have all my school supplies.
Jesus is with me.
When I'm waking up and eating a healthy breakfast to start the day.
Jesus is with me.
When I'm getting on the bus or getting a ride to school.
Jesus is with me.
When I meet my teachers and my new friends in my class.
Jesus is with me.
When I'm playing with my friends at recess.
Jesus is with me.
When I'm finding the right school bus to ride home.
Jesus is with me.
When I'm telling my family about my day at school.
Jesus is with me.
When I'm praying at night and thanking God for my family, my friends, and my school.
Jesus is with me.
That's right. Jesus is always with you. Always with all of us. So let's say a prayer. Okay? Lord, thank you for always being with us. Always, always. From the most minor moments of our days to the ones where we need you the most. You're always there. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Have a great first couple days, Adrian.
Holy God, by your Spirit, enlighten us, illumine us. Inspire us, not for our sakes, but for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whom we live. Amen. Oh,
Sorry, folks. Got caught on the chair and pulled it right off my ear. Thank you, Nancy. I was so pleased this week when I heard that you were going to be singing Psalm 23, because we're going to spend the next several weeks in the Psalms together. And I know there's a group of you headed to the ball game, so I am doing my best to not be long-winded so you all can hang around and hear this and then scoot out to the game. So today's the first of three Sundays that we will spend in the Psalms. There's no other book in the Bible that consists completely of prayers and songs. They represent a rich cross-section of speech to and about God, and in a few cases, speech from God. John Calvin said that in the Psalms, you could find the whole faith of the whole person articulated. That the Psalms are an anatomy of the soul, fully articulating every facet of the cost and joy of life with God. For over three millennia, the Psalms have taught, shaped, and sustained the people of God. They are not only the prayers of the ancient Jews, they are the prayers of Jesus and the prayers of the church. And so this prayer book that has united God's people across the ages seemed to be a solid and trustworthy place for all of us to begin our life together. Walter Brueggemann, the renowned Old Testament scholar, will be one of our guides. In his study of the Psalms, he's found that the individual Psalms can be organized around a common scheme of orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. While that's not meant to be a straitjacket, forcing every psalm into one of those themes, it's a tool to help us see things that we might not see otherwise. These three general themes of orientation, disorientation, and new orientation reflect what human life really looks like. We all experience seasons of well-being in which we express joy in God's goodness and reliability, anguish seasons of hurt, alienation, suffering, and death, and turns of surprise when we're overwhelmed with the new gifts of God, when joy breaks through despair. Each Sunday, we will listen to a different type of psalm. This morning's psalm is a psalm of orientation, appropriate for a new beginning, don't you think? It expresses a confident, sure settlement of faith issues because God is known to be reliable and trustworthy. Brueggemann describes Psalm 33 as, quote, a new song that sings about a new world. It is the world about which Israel always sings, the new world that Yahweh is now creating. It is a world ordered by God's justice, over which God presides with faithfulness. The only appropriate response to such a world is confident and sure praise to the one who makes that world available to us. Let us listen for God's word to us this day in Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might, it cannot save. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My husband Todd and I enjoy paddling, and we've done two trips in our sea kayaks on the northern side of Lake Huron in the Georgian Bay. It is a series of little pink granite islands, thousands of them. And some of them are much too small to even show up on the map. That makes navigating a bit tricky. And while we use the compass that's on the front of Todd's kayak there, there are just too many islands when all you see are the islands in front of you. So each night, we'd use the GPS on our phone to figure out exactly where we were on the map, that little red dot, where we were in that maze of islands. Well, the first night, as is often the case in the wilderness, we had no cell signal. So we did our best to guess where we were, and the next morning starting out, we were a little less than confident of where we were, which makes you feel a little anxious. The second night, we camped on a bluff where we could see much better all of the islands out ahead of us that we couldn't see directly in front of us. And of course, we also had a cell signal being a bit higher, but it was beautiful, and we could look out in all directions. And between our vision of things from that higher elevation, that kind of bird's eye view, and the help of our GPS clearly marking where we were on the map, we could start the next day with confidence of where we were and where we were going. Psalms of orientation, like this morning's psalm, are like that GPS map, that red dot that shows you where you are. It gives you the larger picture and shows you exactly where you are. Kind of like the maps at a trailhead or at the mall or a museum, the big red dot that says, you are here. These Psalms of orientation express a confident, serene settlement of faith issues. Because God is known to be reliable and trustworthy, some things are settled and beyond doubt, so that one does not have to live and believe in the midst of anxiety and feel overwhelmed. Many of the Psalms give expression to that happy sense of being settled. The reality that God is trustworthy and reliable, and the decision to stake life on this particular God. There is an affirmation that God's faithfulness and goodness are experienced as generosity, continuity, and regularity. And these characteristics of God that show up and are praised in these orientation psalms are like markers along a trail that can be trusted to guide you. Psalm 33 calls the people to rejoice and praise and sing because the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. The order of creation and history tell the story of God's love and faithfulness. This psalm declares the wonders of God's word, of God's counsel, and of God's mindful observation of God's creation. Because each of those things are expressions of God's steadfast love. They demonstrate that God's love can be trusted. The people of ancient Israel had eyes to see in the creation, ground for hope in their Creator. They had the bird's eye view, the larger perspective that declared, "You are here, surrounded by the steadfast love of God." Ancient Israel's creation faith is not interested in ontological questions, questions about the nature of existence. Instead, it is the awe, power, and majesty attributed to the Creator of the creation that inspires the faith of that community. Kings, warriors, military strength cannot save, as the psalmist says. They're not always reliable. After all, Israel did have its share of bad kings as well as good kings. Only God's steadfast love inspires hope. As we begin a new chapter in the life of United Presbyterian Church of Laramie, how might this psalm be a marker orienting us in God's steadfast love? I think there are three things that this psalm encourages us to do. First, the psalm begins, "Rejoice, give thanks." And the psalmist is basing that in the creation. So if the creation reminds us of God's steadfast love, I suppose we should pay attention to it. So whether it is the warm colors of the sunrise, or the beautiful colors of a Laradice sunset, or the breeze, whatever it is in creation that reminds you of God's love, pay attention and give thanks. Our neighborhood is brand new, not quite finished, and so when we look to the west, there are no privacy fences right now, which is marvelous. We have this beautiful view of the sunset over the Snowies, and we know it's not going to last long. There will soon be fences. But each night, I am amazed at the colors. Todd can tell you, whatever we're doing, I will see it out the window and go, "Ooh, ooh, come look, come see." And as I look at that, and I give thanks for that beauty, it grounds me. It orients me. So this week, whatever part of creation speaks to you, sky, trees, mountains, water, animals, pay attention and see God's steadfast love. The second thing the psalmist tells us, kind of in the middle of the psalm, towards the end, I suppose, he says in the negative, "Don't misplace your trust in human strength." The psalmist is referring to armies and kings, But I think it's true for any form of human leadership. After a church has gone through a significant transition, I think it's really tempting for folks, when the new pastor arrives, to say, "She's here! She'll fix everything!" I am honored by the trust and confidence that you place in me. And I promise to respect that trust by seeking to serve you with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, and anything that needs to be fixed, we'll do together. We'll do it together, not out of anxiety or fear, but in the confidence that God's steadfast love is leading us and guiding us. The last thing that the psalmist encourages us, and a way for us to put this into practice, is to wait. And I'm sure you all are thinking, wait? We've been waiting for almost 2 years. It is time to get this show on the road. Let's move. It's not that kind of wait. In Hebrew, the word for wait and the word for hope share the same root. So waiting is not a passive activity. It's an eager anticipation of what God's steadfast love will accomplish next. It's active, not passive. So to assist your waiting, to make it less passive and more active, I have a challenge for you during these 3 weeks with the Psalms. Take today's Psalm, it's right there in your bulletin, and read it out loud. It's poetry. It begs to be read out loud. Then rewrite it, at least a portion of it, in your own words. Make it your prayer each day so that at least once each day you get the bird's eye view. You see the signpost. You know that you are here, surrounded by the steadfast love of God, and can eagerly anticipate what God's love will accomplish in your life and in the life of this congregation. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. To the glory of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. in the affirmation of faith taken from a brief statement of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray for the church and the world, saying, O God of hope, hear our prayer. O God, your blessings are as plentiful as the stars above and as numerous as the grains of sand along the seashore. We come before you with grateful hearts as we pray for the church and the world, saying, O God of hope, hear our prayer. We pray for wisdom and guidance for all the people and leaders of this world, that they may foster peace and justice and serve the common good. O God of hope, hear our prayer. We pray for your church, that by your grace and our faith, we may serve you with constancy and love. O God of hope, hear our prayer. Help us to protect the goodness of your creation, that all may enjoy the precious blessings of this world as a foretaste of the next. O God of hope, hear our prayer. We pray for all those whose burdens we carry in our hearts and offer them up to you. Heal them, comfort them, guide them, make them whole. O God of hope, hear our prayer. Holy God, steadfast and true, on you our hope is founded. Receive the prayers of your faithful people, for our hearts are gladdened by our trust in you. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now with gratitude, let us give of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Generous God, you pour out blessing and cover us with gifts of love. Accept these offerings for the sake of your children, that they may proclaim your mercy and embody your grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Go out into the world as God's beloved children with hope, confident that you are here, surrounded by God's steadfast love. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Thank you.